smack dab in the middle of a series called Focused on the Family, the Dare to Discipline. The Dare to Discipline. We call it a dare not because it's dangerous, because so few do it. So few do it. And those many that do it wrong. There's a biblical way to discipline. Ephesians 6 said, when you're raising your children and nurturing your children, to not provoke them to wrath, meaning there is a wrong way to discipline your kids. Would you say amen? Right? There's a wrong way to do that. But the Bible said that there, in Ephesians chapter 6, that we're to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God has given us children to raise them for Him. I was there looking at my little baby when she entered to this world. And again, I was assuming, and I'm not trying to be too personal, but hey, it just happened. You're going to have to sit here for a second, okay? I saw that little life, and as that little life made its entrance into this world, and they laid that baby up on my wife's chest right there, and she was just screaming, just screaming, just screaming. I looked at her, and I said, there's the Bellina in her. That's my wife's family. Amen. I could see that right there. There's the Bellina in her, right? And all those kinds of things. And I kind of flash forward a little bit. Maybe it's because I've got children at 11, 8, and 6 now. I'm beginning to see how quickly time flies, how fast things move. And that's the point I was making with Natalia. She was just 16, 17-year-old girl over here, and now she's a young woman, and praise the Lord, godly girl, and I'm thankful for her, and GM's okay. But I just remember sitting there thinking, and I forgive me for maybe not trying to be emotionally manipulative here this morning, but I thought, you know, before too long, my little girl's going to be a grown woman, and she's going to be up there. There'll be no Jim. There'll be nobody, all right? I'm making sure of that. That'll be all right. But that will happen, and that phase will happen, and my boys are going to be young men. They're real close, amen. They're being young men. And then now I got this little one, and I began to, as that baby was laid up on my wife's chest, and I was looking at all the miracle of life and thinking about those screams, how the most little, those little beautiful cries out, I began to think, I've got to get this thing right. Yep. I've got to direct her. I have to raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. I have to do it. When my baby was born, my very first one, right before she was born, she was about almost nine weeks early. She was really early, and she weighed 3 pounds, 4 ounces. Apple did. She was just a little bitty thing. But before she came to this earth, I got down on my knees right there in that delivery room. And I said, I got to ask God for help here. And we Lord brought her in, and everything was okay. I did that with Judd and with Walker. This was a little bit different. My doctor, and I won't say her name because maybe she wasn't supposed to do this, but my doctor and our delivery nurse, they're God-fearing people. We were talking about, as we were sitting there waiting before the baby was born, we was talking about child rearing, about different things on how to raise kids for God, and talking about standing for God. It was a blessing. And as that child was being brought into this earth, I was coming to take care. I began to pray with my wife. And as I was praying with my wife, that little nurse, she put her hand on my arm and she prayed with me. And our doctor's right there and they were praying. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. And I just was pressed up on my mind. God, again, has blessed me with the opportunity to raise a child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want to make a couple of statements. They're going to start off tough. This will be an encouraging message. My dear friends, all of this parent-baby dedication stuff, and we'll do them, we're going to have some. We got a lot to do coming up here. We got 3 or 4 we got to be doing here. Maybe we got a few more to be need to be doing. But I want to tell you something. All of this parent-baby dedication stuff doesn't mean a thing if you don't do what God says on a daily basis.
Amen.
There's no special power in the platform when you bring a child up and say, as a parent, we dedicate ourselves as parents to raising this child for the Lord. This is God's child. We say a beautiful prayer. And I love those. They're some of my favorite things to do. I'm not against them. I'm for them. I cannot wait to do a couple coming up here. I love it. I think we should consecrate our children to the Lord. Somebody say amen. I think it's a biblical thing. But the point I'm making is this. The Sunday morning or the Sunday night or whenever it is, dedication means nothing if we don't dedicate them on a daily basis to the Lord and raise them in the nurture and the admonition of God. Many Christian parents are in for a big old heaping surprise of heartbreak. They're in for a surprise. They're thinking that church services and things, and you say, man, you're getting ready to kill us here, put us on a down note here. We're trying to raise money for teens, and oh, I'm for it. You know I'm for it. I love it. I love our young people. I'll do anything we can to help them live for God. But I want to tell you something. A church service and a youth conference are good, but they cannot supplant the home.
That's right.
There's no greater influence than the home.
Amen.
And some people are in for a big old heartbreak. They're in for a surprise when their young people walk away from God and they say to themselves, but we raised them in church. And the question is not, did you raise them in church, but did you raise them at home? Did you raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week? Amen. People say things like this. So I raised them in church and they didn't turn out for God. I have to tell you this. It's not the church's fault. Don't blame it on the church. Amen. I'm talking about day to day. Daddy and mama, or single daddy, or single mama, or papa and grandma, whatever the situation might be that God has allowed you in and you're in right now, it's got to be a day-to-day raising in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We've looked at three tenets from Ephesians chapter 6. We'll not go there this morning, probably. We saw tenet number one, part of our raising, our daily raising, is nurture. Nurture. We're going to love the devil out of them kids. Amen. If that don't work, then you whoop the devil out of them. But we're going to try loving first. Amen. Like I said, anything on discipline does not apply to this new baby. All right. I've instituted a moratorium on those kinds of things. But I want to nurture my children. God says to nurture them. That involves affirmation and letting them with their identity and helping them be accepted. And I know those words are used by liberals today, but those are good things. Your kids need to understand they're accepted in the Beloved. They're accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're accepted in your home for who they are. I'm talking about their personality quirks.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about some of those little issues that you say, well, if I was picking kids, I wouldn't have these kinds of things going. I wouldn't have had that. Well, they didn't pick their parents neither. Amen. I mean, that's a two-way street, brothers and sisters. We want to love them and we want to affirm them and say, hey, yes, this is who you are. I love you. I love the way God has made you. I love the way you think. I love everything about you because God has made you that way and it's A-okay with me.
Amen.
By the way, can we be a church that works on that too? Right, church is a big family, amen. We got our teens here. I love all these young men, these young ladies here. Many times, I used to preach a lot for teen revivals. You walk into a church, and there was almost a, teens, get them. Sometimes you have to. But we need to understand something here. They're going through phases. This is all about transition from one step of life to the next.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so we say as a church, as a ministry, as a pastor, I say, hey, listen, we'll take you how you are. We don't always leave you there, but we'll take you how you are and we'll love you right where you're at and we'll love you to where you're supposed to get.
Amen.
Amen. And we just nurture. We let them have significance in our home and know they're of value. And boy, we just nurture those kids. Tenet number two is admonishment. Admonishment. Admonishment means in part to notify of a fault. That's not all admonishment means. But it means to notify of a fault. You did something wrong, and that also involves the appropriate penalty. We don't reason, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. We don't reason with kids. They don't have reasoning capabilities. They can't even brush their teeth on their own. And don't see the need to take a bath more than once a month. You cannot reason with somebody like that. Amen. Some of y'all ladies are looking at your husband saying, I know. Amen. I know. Amen. But we don't reason with kids. We don't bribe kids. Hello? We don't bribe them. We don't threaten them into obedience. We don't make excuses for their lack of it. We just deal with it like God says, and we admonish them in the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all with me this morning? We do that. We simply discipline them with consistency, with clarity, with confirmation. I'm doing this because I love you, not because I don't. Remember what Paul said when somebody, he said, hey, listen, you put them out of the church. They've been dealt with. They've got it right. He says, now receive them back and love them. Why? He says, to confirm your love to them. That's part of the discipline process, amen? I'm doing this to show my love to you. Every time I spank one of my children and discipline with one of my children, no matter what it might be, I set them down and I say, you know why Daddy's doing this? I do this because I, and they will generally say, not always, you love me. And I tell them, listen, I was mad earlier. I'm not mad now, I'm hurt. But I give them confirmation. Can I tell you this? If you do it right, your child will leave the discipline time not thinking their whole world is falling apart, but hey, somebody loves me. Somebody loves me enough to keep me corralled. Amen. Amen. Thank you, all four of you, on that this morning. Amen. You confirm them. And then there's closure. We don't hold grudges. Amen. Amen. I dealt with the discipline. It's there. It's not 6 weeks later we're getting it right. It's not a little toddler. I dealt with you. I spanked your hand. I spanked your bottom. I dealt with it. And then 6 hours later, you're still crass with them. We don't do that.
Amen.
Do y'all know God, how He deals with you? He don't deal with you like that. Somebody say amen right there. So that's how we deal with it. Are y'all with me on this? We bring them admonition. We bring them admonition. Nurture-only parenting raises softies who cannot function in a real world. They've never been told no in their life. And they come up and work at a job. No. And they get triggered. They need counseling for PTSD because somebody said you didn't do that right. Hello? Why? Because they've never been admonished in the home. Never been dealt with in the home. I love when people say things like this. Well, we're just going to love people like Jesus did. I find in this that most people who quote Jesus have never read Him. They never saw how He dealt with people. Jesus always admonished when He was dealing with sin. Somebody give me an amen. Are y'all with me on this morning? These are tenets of parenting. This has got to be part of what we're doing on an everyday basis. We've got to bring nurture and we've got to bring admonishment. Why? Because we're trying to get to the place of direction. We're trying to get to the place of direction. And that was tenet number three. The Bible says this, that you raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Can I tell you, parents, there's many good ways to raise your kids, but only one right one. And it's for the Lord. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. He said, this is not just for you. This is for your sons and your sons' sons. You've got to direct them in the things of God. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. I want to deal with some things today on direction. Direction. Where we need to direct our children. It is God's will that you direct your kids. Kids cannot raise themselves. They're not supposed to raise themselves. In fact, the Bible says if they do, it's a bad gig all the way around. Amen? Well, we just want to kind of just flutter them out there and let them see how it works and everything. It won't work. They got to be directed. The Bible says, God says this of Abraham, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God says Abraham is going to direct everybody in his household, everybody in his influence into the way of the Lord. That's what we're doing here. I have got these little children. I got four this morning. I don't know why my wife decided to stay home from church today. I don't know what the problem is, but anyway, pray for her. But anyway, she stayed home, and we got. They were all looking at the baby, and they were trying to take turns who's going to hold the baby and who's going to look at the baby, and they even saying they're going to take turns changing diapers. We'll try that out one time. I know that's not going to work, but I said, all right. I said, 3/4 of you need to be at the door right now. I can say that now. It used to be 2/3 or 1/3, but now I can say 3/4. One was staying home, and the other three were going. And I said, I need you to get to the door, and I need you to get to the truck, and I need you to get there right now. And off they went, and I directed them. We do this on a daily basis with so many things. Why can't we not direct them spiritually?
Amen.
Amen. Direct them. Your child needs and craves direction.
Amen.
They need it. And I want to tell you, they crave it. I learned something very quickly. I'm going to be done quick. I promise you, I don't have a long sermon today. I learned something very quickly in children's ministry and youth ministry. The worst kids I had were the ones that wanted the most direction.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the ones that were kicking in the shins and doing all these kinds of things. They were just waiting for somebody. They really were waiting for somebody to say, stop.
Amen.
You will not do that.
Amen.
And you will do this.
Amen.
They're just waiting for it. He said, man, I got a little rebel in my heart. I understand there's rebellion and it gets there, but the bottom line is kids crave and need direction. If you give a kid direction, you give them the rules, you give them the box, you give them the admonition, you say, this is the way, walk you in it, they thrive on that.
Yes, sir.
The most unadjusted kids are the ones who have never had any direction in their life. next Sunday, perhaps, Lord willing, I'm going to get into training up a child. What does that mean and how do we do it? But I want to give you three areas this morning where we must direct our kids. I'm not saying this is a great idea. You must do this. Three this morning. Let's pray quickly and we'll be done. Father, what a privilege and a treasure it is to be able to be responsible and a steward of a little life or a toddler's life or a fourth grader's life or a junior higher's life or a high schooler's life and on, Lord. What a privilege it is to be able to give direction. Now, Lord, help us do it the right way. There's many good ways, thousands of wrong ones, but only one right way to direct a child, and it's in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the Lord's way, as you said of Abraham. Father, help us now as we look at these three things. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I'm going to go through these rather quickly. This morning is not going to be a blow-your-mind, deep theological treatise. I just want to give you three things very quickly. Number one, we must direct them to serve God. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, Joshua said, whether the gods which of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said to everybody within his earshot, he said, there's gods over there, and there's gods right where you are. But we're going to our house. I don't know what y'all going to do. You figure it out what's going to be good for you. He said, but we are going to serve the Lord, my house. Somebody say amen. We need a generation of men, and yes, mamas too, single mamas, or mamas too, who say, hey, this house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we don't want to force it. Did they brush their teeth? Did they take a bath? You force your children to do all kinds of things all the time.
That's right.
Amen. 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 You're a bad parent if you don't force your kids. Oh, I can't believe that. They got to discover their own little personality. Yeah, within the box.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. And then as they get a little bit more going on, you give them a little bit more rope. You open up the box a little bit more. It goes from authority to influence. Somebody can say amen right there. That's how the process works. It's set here and right. But right now, I am directing my children to say, you are going to serve God with your life. Thank you. This whole business of you need to pray about whether or not you need to surrender your life to God. It's not yours to surrender. God created you. He made you. You are created for His glory. Somebody say amen right there. There's no decision to make of whether it's just obedience or disobedience, of honor God or dishonor God. But whether this thing is like a third option here. No, you just say to your kids, to our family, we're saying this, we are going to serve God. We're going to serve God whether our community thinks it's great, whether our country thinks it's great or not, whatever the way the tides turn politically, sociologically, all those things has no bearing on what we, the Conleys, by the grace of God, we're going to serve God with our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Service here, when Joshua said, we want to serve the Lord, we often think the word serve, we're thinking about ministry area, but it means more than that. When Joshua said we're going to serve God, it means to recognize that the God of the Bible is still God today, and there is no other God. Amen. He said, there's that over there and that over there, but we're going to serve God, the God that has walked us through Exodus, the God who's got us all the way through, the God who's taken us from one place to another, the God who's provided everything, the God who's done great miracles. That's the God we're going to serve. And so we do very, very clearly here with our children, there is only one God. Amen. Not many ways to Him. There's one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You live in a society, it's called pluralism. Pluralism. Somebody know what I'm talking about here? You live in a post-God culture, and it's this and that God and that God, and everybody's got a way, and all roads lead to heaven. All roads lead to hell. There's only one way to God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will direct our children in this way.
Amen.
Well, that sounds very exclusive with kids. It sounds like they're going to be judgmental. It's called discernment, not judgmental, and it's going to help your kids understand we will serve God.
Amen.
I love this. Well, we can't force them into that. You picking everything else for them but that. I don't get that. When I coached basketball for 1 year, all right? Now, you say, why are you so messed up? Well, I grew up in a school. My mom was the principal. I couldn't get away with squat. All right. My dad was my basketball coach. I had no freedom. I couldn't lie. I couldn't get away with nothing. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I started coaching basketball. The coach said, I need you to cover. I said, I don't really want to coach. He said, but I need you to coach. They just had an amazing season. They'd gone like 46-2, and they got rid of all the seniors and everybody else. So I had the scrubs left over, right? Nobody wants to coach the scrubs. So I got the scrubs. And so here we go. And we're doing all this kinds of stuff. And boy, there people let me get their kids up early, let me make them run to their barf, excuse me. I mean, do all this kind of, I'm yelling, you know, and whatnot. Believe it or not, I'm not very tame when I was coaching. I was in there and this and that. I got a little bit of intensity. What are you doing, you knucklehead? That's back when you could talk to kids and coach them. Amen. And you could tell them, you're dirtbag, and all that kind of stuff. And people would let me, I'm telling you the truth now, people would let me run their kids up until practice was over, until their feet bled, no problem. But the moment I said, you know what, we're not having practice, we're actually going to go up here and clean up some stuff around the school because our character's bad and these kids are being lazy and disrespectful, that was the problem. You're just trying to force character up on them. No, I'm called directing them. Amen. Why was it okay for me to run them up and down a court 100 times, but not sit there and make them memorize a Bible verse in a Christian school will be beyond me. But the bottom line was this. People want to direct their kids in everything but spiritual things. No, I will direct my children in the service of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not picking a career for my kids. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to influence and I'm going to guide and I'm going to direct. Amen. Because they got different callings and abilities. Everybody be with me on this one right here? I'm not going to force them into a mold I wish I'd have got into. Quit living vicariously through your kids. But the bottom line is this. I will direct them in the service of God.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a trash keeper, if you run this, if you do that, but you will serve God with your life. Me and my house will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Service here means to recognize that I exist because of Him and therefore I exist for Him.
Amen.
God made me for His privilege and for His glory and not my own agenda. I will serve the Lord with my life, and that's what I'm here to do.
Amen.
This idea of being a servant has the idea of a lord and a subject. Did you know that? We don't have time to go to Romans chapter number 1, but if you go back to Romans chapter number 1 and that whole just degradation of society where they glorified not God and their creator, it gets back down about verse 25 or 26, and it says they didn't want to serve Him. They'd rather serve the creature and worship the creature over the Creator. They don't want to serve the God of creation.
Amen.
Amen. You look it up. I don't have time today. I'm going to direct my kids in the service of God.
Amen.
I exist to serve the Lord. Serving means the broader sense of wholehearted devotion. It's worship. I want to give you a warning this morning before I go on to my next 2 points. Your Christian heritage, your family worship is only one generation away of disappearing. One generation away. You can have kids. I'm talking about, I come from a long line. I praise the Lord for it. I got a long line of godly heritage. I'm talking about on both sides. I mean, my grandmothers, one is up in heaven. The other one is, she's 90, 94, 95, still spry as a spring chicken. I mean, she just loves Jesus and loves the Word of God. But I'm talking about they know the Lord. They knew the Word of God. They teach us the Word of God. They sing us. I come from a long line of all that. I grew up in a Christian home, but the bottom line is this, that none of that guarantees what my kids will do. I can't run on the fumes of my ancestors. I've got to direct my children in the service of God.
Amen.
One generation away.
Right.
One.
Amen.
I'm just saying, I don't want none of that. I want it this way. And then you're going to have a generation, are you ready for this? And succeeding generations of kids who don't know the Lord.
Right.
Read the book of Judges.
Amen.
Everybody come through that came out through that Exodus, and everybody went in there. The Bible says very clearly that there a generation arose that forgot God, that knew not God. What happened? Well, what Joshua said in chapter 24 went unheeded, quite frankly. You don't think it can happen? It's already happened in this country. I'm just going to go off script here for a minute. I've been off script for a few minutes. As I brought that child into this world, I could not believe again that we butcher that in this country.
That's right. Come on.
Couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. As that little life came in, those little bones hadn't formed just yet, and that little life just crying out, not trying to be gross, still attached to mama. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, oh my goodness gracious, that was what the Lord gave us. And now we in a country where we can butcher and cut that up without a minute's notice, go more upset about avocados not coming in this stupid place than children coming into the world. Are you kidding me? Is that really what we're all about here? And so, preacher, that's extreme. We have lost a generation, and it's time that we, as God's people, say, I'm going to direct my children in the service of God. I love this country. I'm thankful for Natalia singing that song. We live in a great country. I think this is the greatest country. I love this country. I love it. I love being here. I didn't say I love my government. I said I love this country. Amen. But I want to tell you something. We've gone a bad way. This American experiment is not working out too well for the glory of God. You say, you shouldn't have said that. Well, it did. Why? Because people are not directing their children to serve God. The only way this is a little newsflash, a little history lesson for everybody. The only way this form of government works is if it's lived in by godly people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the only way this kind of government works. It's too much freedom without the restraint of God.
Amen.
I'm making friends and winning, influencing people. I want to tell you something. We got to direct our kids to the service of God. They exist for God and no other purpose. Whatever else comes in their life is great and fine and dandy. Whatever gifts they have are wonderful. They all come from the Lord. But they are on this earth to serve God with their life, to give Him glory and honor.
Amen.
Amen. That went great. Number two, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, please. I'm going to get to point number two today, perhaps. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I hope you're still there. That was supposed to be an introductory point. Every once in a while, one of my children will be walking, driving somewhere, and they say, why don't we do that? Why don't we go there? I say, because we serve God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We had one of our missionaries. We took him out to eat over here down here at the Texas Roadhouse. Now, I love bluegrass. It started in Kentucky. Okay? It'd probably be in heaven. But the trumpet will be sounding with the banjo behind it. Amen. I mean, that's what's going to happen. But there is a bluegrass song called Blue Moon of Kentucky Shine Down on Me. That's an old bluegrass song. We were with one of our, it was actually with Brother Tomlinson and his wife. We were down at the Texas Roadhouse, and there was this Blue Moon sign right above us. And the waiter came and said to us, what would you like to drink? And one of my children, guess which one? One of my children looks right at Brother Tomlinson and says, my dad would like, because bluegrass, Blue Moon. My dad would like a Blue Moon. That's his favorite drink. No. But, Dad, you like Blue Moon. I like Blue Moon of Kentucky. No. Then that went into discussion. Well, what's wrong with that? I said, well, there's just chemicals and things that go on. We just stay away from that stuff. Why we stay away from that stuff? And the answer was because we serve God.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
But Brother Thompson left thinking I love Blue Moon. And I think that's all he got out of that. I was so blessed. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'm going to give you the second point. What do you got to direct your children in? Not only serve God, but direct them to fear God. Fear God. We could preach months on the fear of the Lord. But look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Here's a preaching sermon right here, verse 23. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Do you recognize God brought you out from stuff to bring you into something? And God has brought you out to bring you in. To give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. God says, listen, you need to come into the land. It's been sworn to your fathers. The inheritance is there, but the only way it's going to work out good for you is if you fear the Lord.
Amen?
Amen? Go with me to the book of Proverbs. We'll just read a couple things here, and that's as far as I'll get today. The book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter number 1. I was trying to get you to end in a good mood so you'd be good and hungry and generous. Amen. But Proverbs chapter number 1. To fear God. You don't hear much preaching anymore on the fear of God. That is a spiritual discipline. Amen. Proverbs, let's just look at Proverbs. We'll stay in Proverbs just to help us out here. Proverbs chapter number 1. He said, I want to raise good kids and kids that know how to think and know how to act. Verse number 7, Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You can't think right until you fear God. You can't even think correctly. You can't even deduce anything correctly. Somebody say amen. You can't analyze and have discernment. It all starts with the fear of the Lord. That is the basis for wisdom, God's wisdom anyway, the right way to deal with things in this life. Are y'all with me? That's starting point one is the fear of God. The fear of God. Chapter number 8. Let's just move over a little bit this morning. I want to direct my family to the service of God, but I also want to direct my family to the fear of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. But the Bible says very clearly, the fear of the Lord isn't simply walking around like, but we'll get to that in a minute, but it's also to hate evil. Yeah. Amen. When somebody fears God, they love what God loves and they hate what God hates. God loves righteousness and He hates unrighteousness. He hates wickedness. Amen. The Lord Jesus. That's why God gave Him a scepter, the Bible says. Why? Because He loved righteousness. He eschewed evil. He hates evil, the Lord Jesus. And so the fear of the God is me loving what God loves and hating what God hates. And so that hate is a bad word in the Christian circle. I know it is, but it's still a biblical word. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination unto Him. God does hate some things. Did you know that? He hates the lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. There's some things that God still hates. And the God-fearing Christian says, I love what God loves, and I hate what God hates. Love not the world. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 9. Are we okay this morning? We're getting close. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Go with me to chapter number 10, verse number 27. We're just moving right through. We just want to talk about the fear of God for a minute. The fear of the Lord, look at this, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I want my kids to have a good, prosperous life. They need to fear the Lord. Chapter number 14. We're just moving through very quickly. Chapter 14, verse number 27. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Do you know being a Christian, if you're doing it right, isn't restrictive? Amen. It's not a burden. Amen. You can't run a race with the burden. But the fear of the Lord, I just got to tell you, the Bible says that if you love the Lord, you live with the Lord, the days of the righteous are a continual feast. Amen. It's a fountain of life to fear God. Amen. You don't walk around like some shell-shocked victim of something. It is the fountain of life, the fear of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Bible teaches very clearly the fear of God then has got a regenerative power to it. I'm not talking about soul regeneration, and I'm not talking about salvation. I'm simply saying this, that there is something in the fear of the Lord that helps us live life on a daily basis the right way. Amen. You know what many people, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. The way of the transgressor ain't fun. It's fun for a season, the Bible says. Sin's pleasure before a season. That season is short, the reaping is long, but the bottom line is this, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Yes. Amen. Amen. Y'all with me on this morning? Y'all God-fearing people, somebody say amen. Amen. It's the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Let's go on to chapter number 16. Chapter 16, verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Let's go one more. 19, verse number 23. Well, two more. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it hath what? The fear of the Lord shall abide, what's the next word? Satisfied, he shall not be visited with evil. You know, most content people with their life, I can tell you this much very truthfully, people who are living life right now, truly, and they're Christians, who are truly living life, content with the life that God has, the people that fear God. Amen. They're satisfied. Amen. Fear God. Satisfying life. Most people are not satisfied. A recent poll was taken of some of the richest people in the world. They asked a couple questions. One of the questions they asked was this. Would you say, these are talking about billionaires, multi-billionaires. Would you classify yourself, they gave them a little scale, forget what it's called, on a scale of 10 very satisfied to 1 least satisfied. Over 80% of them were under 3. That's not a condemnation of money. It's just recognizing that if that's all you live for, you're not satisfied.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord brings satisfaction. Now I'll just give you one last one. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. Verse number 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and, what's the last word?
Life.
People say things like, I sure hope my kids learn to fear the Lord. I have to tell you this and I'm done. Dear parent, you are God's representative. If your kids don't fear you, you think they're going to fear God? You really think they're going to fear God if they can't even fear you? Healthily respect your lines of discipline, your lines of instruction. If mom and dad say something, I'm talking about a six-year-old. I was in line the other day. My wife and I went somewhere, and we went somewhere, excuse me. I got to get all careful for the grammar people. But we went somewhere, and there was a lady in front of me, and there was a lady in front of her, and she had these two little children, and they would not mind. They were getting their hands on everything, and she was letting people go by because she couldn't get their hands off the pretzels aisle in the store. And she, and she got reduced to tears. The lady starts crying. I'm walking up behind her and I'm thinking, should I? Should I not? I was looking for a little flower. She loves me. She loves me not. Should I tell her? Should I not? Should I help her? Should I not? And I just walked up and I said, hey, obey your mama. Please. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I felt bad for her. Because if she can't control a six-year-old and a four-year-old girl, when they're 14 and 16, they're not going to be fearing God. Amen. Parents, you're the representative. That's why this issue of nurture and admonition is so important. We're narcissistic, self-willed, selfish, stubborn creatures with deceitful hearts. And the fear of the Lord delivers us from that. Let's all stand and we'll close. I'll give you point number 3 next week on where we must direct our children. Maybe I'll come up with 17 more. I don't know. But see, I have to say this and I'll close with this. Parents, at this point in time, particularly in the early child rearing years, it's not friendship time.
Nope.
You are not your child's peer.
Yep.
You guys aren't peers. They got to fear you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that just doesn't fit in with what they're saying today. Nobody knows what they're talking about. God does. Amen.
Amen.
God does. Let's have a word of prayer.
He walks among us. All that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table, and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God God has been good. So good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him. As long as I breathe, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time, so I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth, where the flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wings. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time, so I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time, so I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good.